Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today On Deadline is diving deeper into the world of cryptocurrency, which feels mysterious for many of us and may experience a boom under President-elect Donald Trump. What are we basing that on? Well, it's the fact that while he was on the campaign trail, Trump promised a secure border, lower gas and grocery prices, and to be the most crypto-friendly president ever. To accomplish that, Trump vowed while speaking at the Bitcoin conference in Nashville, Tennessee, to never sell any of the U.S.'s Bitcoin stockpile. Instead, he vowed to save the digital currency. He said in posts on Truth Social that he wants, quote, all the remaining Bitcoin to be made in the USA. For those of you who think I just lapsed into speaking Greek, let's table set. Cryptocurrency is a digital currency created by a process called mining. That's where computers solve complicated mathematical problems and generate coins when they succeed. Crypto is decentralized, meaning it's not controlled or maintained by a central authority like a bank or a government. Instead, a digital ledger is used to record transactions and a public-private key cryptography system to transfer ownership. If you have cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, it's usually stored in what's called a crypto wallet. Gary Gensler, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission chairman, a Joe Biden appointee, has taken an aggressive approach to regulating cryptocurrencies. Throughout his time as the chair of the SEC, Gensler has brought more than 100 actions against crypto firms. Those firms have argued that the commission is overreaching in its lawsuits. And Trump, he's promised to fire Gensler. Although the president doesn't have the power to fire the SEC chair. Even if Trump appoints a new SEC chairman, Gensler would stay on as a commissioner for the independent agency. Even so, Trump has vowed to create a Bitcoin and crypto presidential advisory council, saying that the rules will be written by those who love the industry, and not those who hate it. So, what does all this mean when it comes to the future of cryptocurrency? David Sacco, a professor of finance in the Pompeia College of Business at the University of New Haven, recently shared his thoughts with Odyssey.
So what does the Bitcoin industry think is going to happen under President Trump that didn't happen under President Biden?
Well, I think what they expect is probably a little less overt regulation, a little more friendly attitude toward the technology and the markets. And again, regulation is not a bad thing. We have regulation in all of our financial markets and financial industries, so we absolutely need some. But I think that the general idea is that the current administration has a more sort of hardline streamlined regulatory approach, a little more skeptical, and that the incoming administration will be a little more market-friendly and, you know, be willing to sort of let things sort of grow naturally as they would in the sense of the market expanding.
So was that an indication that maybe the Biden administration didn't quite get the unique nature of crypto versus hard assets?
Well, the crypto is still, you know, and I trade in crypto, but it still is it's a very volatile, it's a speculative asset, right? So it is prudent for regulators to make sure that, you know, people who are not necessarily sophisticated investors understand the risk associated with it. So, you know, part of that makes sense. It's the same reason we don't let most investors invest in things like private equity, right? There are regulations around that. And the Biden administration, specifically Gary Gensler, the current SEC chairman, is very focused on that. And obviously Trump is being advised by people like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, who, you know, have a little more experience in the tech fields, maybe a little bit more comfortable with newer technologies and maybe a little more willing to take some of those risks. But again, we do want to make sure that we protect consumers and investors from something that is, you know, it is a pretty speculative asset. So I'd leave it at that.
If it's that speculative and Mr. Trump has gone on record saying he wants to create a Bitcoin strategic reserve, what are the implications of that?
Well, that's part of why you're seeing this run up, right? Because if the U.S. government decides that Bitcoin specifically is something that they strategically need to hold for economic purposes, that's obviously going to create huge demand, right? It probably would create at that point the biggest buyer in the world of that. So I suspect, you know, some of the run up is based on that. I mean, you know, we still really don't know what Bitcoin is. You know, it is probably the most prominent of all the cryptocurrencies. And again, not all cryptocurrencies are created equal. But as they become more accepted, and that's, you know, that's a very ambiguous term, right? Because people getting more confidence in it is going to lead to it being more accepted and the value going up. But, you know, that there's a lot of things that influence that confidence, you know, could be shaken. So, you know, this year we've seen a low of 40,000 and a high. We're closing in on 100,000. And it wouldn't shock me for the next 6 months, you know, we could see Bitcoin, you know, go down to 50 or 60,000 again or up to 150,000, right? That's really what volatile means, right, in terms of the speculative nature of the asset.
I think you hinted at it a minute ago when you said that Bitcoin is reaching these historic valuations. We sort of judge the crypto industry by what Bitcoin is doing. Overall, is it rising to the same level?
I mean, I think Bitcoin is kind of leading the way now. Again, the cryptocurrency universe is very diverse. I mean, there are some cryptocurrencies that don't even have scarcity. And that, what I mean by that is that they can create as much of them as you want, which to me, that makes no sense. Why would anybody invest in something where the supply can be easily manipulated or increased? I mean, think about it. If we all had printing presses for dollar bills in our basements, right, what would the value of dollars be? So Bitcoin is a little bit unique. It's got some of the features, the scarcity. It's got the security associated with it. So I think, you know, it's important to not think about all cryptocurrencies as being equal. Some of them, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and some others, are becoming more mainstream and more accepted. But remember, this is all based on technology. And, you know, what scares me is that we could wake up one day and the technology could have changed, or someone could figure out a way to replicate these things. Right now, we have confidence that they can't, but it is technology, and we know that technology changes.
Crypto has experienced a boon since Trump won the election. On Monday, November 4th, the day before the election, Bitcoin was priced just north of $69,000. As of the time of this recording, roughly a month after Trump's victory, Bitcoin was just a few thousand dollars shy of eclipsing six figures. That's the highest cryptocurrency has ever been priced. Some observers say it looks like a bubble, and they wonder when it's going to pop. Maximilian Brichta, a doctoral student at the University of Southern California, joined Odyssey to share more on the world of crypto, offering insight to those who may soon want to buy in for themselves.
So how does cryptocurrency trading differ from gambling, let's say, in Las Vegas? I mean, it sort of seems like the same thing to me.
Yeah, so crypto is not this big monolithic industry. I think that there are some cryptos where even Bitcoin, you could treat it like gambling if you don't study the thing. And if you just sort of throw your money at it and hope that it goes up, which I would advise you to do your research before you go ahead and do that. But there are these more fringe fringe elements of the crypto industry. Meme coins is largely what's sort of treated as gambling. And these things pop up on an hourly basis. Thousands of them are created a month. And they're backed by people. You don't know if these people have good intentions. You don't know if these people are actually trying to make this coin, you know, take off in some big way, or if they're just trying to get money so they could take the bag and run and leave the holders, holding this empty bag. So it could be a very gambly thing. You're gambling on people.
Yeah, and it's like the key influencers, if they all decide to, like, push in on something, then it's going to raise the value of it, right? And so everybody's going to get on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, we live in this digital age of sort of influencer personal finance. And so when you're looking for experts in this thing, it's the people who stand to make the most money off it, the people who have the most influence. And so especially for these meme coins that are really just these sort of fervent communities of belief, it really relies on the influencers who continue to create this buzz around them.
Well, it seems like a real bro culture thing. Do you think there's a difference, a gender difference? You know, I would not ever invest in cryptocurrency.
Yeah, there's definitely a gender split from what I've noticed. That there are women in crypto, but I would say that it's probably like at least 80% guys that are doing it. Hard to tell, though, when you have a bunch of pseudonymous personalities who are doing the trading, but you could get a sense that it's guys if you get on these, Twitter and Discords.
And finally, what do you think the future of the currency is in this era?
Well, I think we're living through an age where the standards of value and how we conceptualize value and express it are being challenged. I think that crypto is... Some of it, like Bitcoin, it offers a compelling, way to sort of play around with value outside of the dominant culture. But we do live in this age where kids are growing up on online cultures, trading in their Robux and, whatever digital currency that they're using that is experienced as more real than, paper dollars where they're going out and spending it. So I think there's going to be some sort of generational shift in this of experiencing value in this emergent way.
Because it's currently priced so high, it's not exactly the time to buy low and sell high. But still, more and more people are looking to get involved in crypto. Athletes have taken their salary in Bitcoin, influencers have pushed their own digital currencies, and everyday people have found themselves downloading Robinhood to join the frenzy. But with investing in crypto comes the concern of scammers. ABC's Jim Ryan joined Odyssey to share more on what to be aware of when it comes to crypto scams.
Let's bring Jim Ryan in, talking about cryptocurrency scams, and boy, there's no shortage of those, right?
Well, no, Susan, and putting numbers to it is really shocking. We've talked about this over and over for the last couple of years or so, but when you see the dollar figures, Americans were scammed out of more than $5.5 billion last year through fraud schemes that typically and specifically involve cryptocurrency. That's according to the FBI, which says that's a 45% jump in losses from 2022. So over the course of that 1 year, these losses from cryptocurrency scams have soared 45%. 70,000 complaints received in 2023 from victims of financial fraud involving Bitcoin, Ether, and the other cryptocurrency, Susan.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of fraud, but should anybody be surprised? Like, it's a cryptocurrency. A lot of people who even put their money into it still don't quite understand what they're doing.
Well, that's true. And in the cryptocurrency portion itself is shocking enough, Brian, but also the methods that the scammers are using to get to their victims. They're building relationships with people through dating apps or through social media sites or through contact with people they suspect may be vulnerable because these people are alone. Maybe they're older people. Maybe they have large investments in cryptocurrency. So reaching out to them, and it's a long game. It's a long con because these folks have to gain the trust of the victims, set up even sometimes ostensibly romantic relationships, and then they strike and start collecting money through cryptocurrency, asking for help or asking for funds to do something or other. So it's shocking enough on its face, but also these methods that are being used are especially sinister.
Yeah, and does any of it get recovered? I mean, because it's virtual money, is it unlikely?
Very little. Yeah, I think you and I talked about, Susan, the case we had here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area not too long ago of a woman, an elderly woman, who was being scammed out of thousands of dollars through Bitcoin, and the police got involved, and Bitcoin itself got involved and managed to reimburse that woman her lost money, something like $28,000.
Despite President-elect Trump's call for loosening regulation, a first-of-its-kind study from the University of Florida that was published earlier this year found that the most regulated coins created the most efficient crypto markets. Bitcoin also goes up or down based on world events, crypto expert Jordan Finiseth explained to Fox News. Whether tensions cool in Israel or Iran or in Russia and Ukraine, as the world's geopolitical trends go, so goes crypto. There's also the question of government oversight and how it will affect the trajectory of cryptocurrency. Taking this uncertainty into account, ARK Invest CEO Kathy Wood laid out the best and worst case scenarios for Bitcoin investors. Wood predicted that, at base, $100 today would be worth nearly $764 in 2030. That means it would be up 663%. In a bullish case, she predicted that $100 today could be worth more than $4,000 by 2030. Yeah, that's up 4,000%. So when it comes to the future of crypto, there are a lot of questions about what will happen under Trump and beyond. But no matter which direction it heads in, analysts are predicting a wild ride. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I'd like to thank you for listening to the On Deadline podcast, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.